Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is taken from our epistle reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. As we begin, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Over these last several weeks, my family and I have been truly blessed. We've been blessed with strong backs, strong arms, and strong legs, who moved our house here in Caldwell, not once, but twice. We also were blessed with others who provided various meals for us as well, and cold beverages. And then there are those individuals who blessed us with warm welcomes as we visited here the last couple weeks. And then there's still others of you that some of you I know, and the others that I don't know, that prayed for my family and myself. Blessings like these ones have been and still make this transition to Caldwell an easy one, not only for me, but also for my wife and my daughters. So thank you. Thank you for blessing us with so many things then, now, and also in the future. So in today's epistle reading, Paul the Apostle reminds his readers, and also us hearers, how God ultimately blesses them. He writes the following in today's reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So with these words in mind, and also our text in mind, we are going to look at the following for our theme today. That God has blessed us in Christ. God has blessed us in Christ is our focal point for this morning. These blessings from God are spiritual. These blessings are means that we are not grasped by sight, but they are grasped by faith. Therefore, we are going to examine this idea of God's spiritual blessings and how He has given them to you and to me. For God has blessed us all. To start us off, we're going to look at three different points about how God has blessed us. To start us off with, God has blessed us in Christ by choosing us. Paul writes in the opening verses of today's reading, verses 4 through 6, the following. He writes, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. Did you notice it this morning? It says that God has chosen us. He has chosen us. When did that take place? When did it take place? Was it when we prayed a certain prayer and accepted Jesus in our hearts? No. That's not what the text says. Was it when we came to a certain age and a certain comprehension about God in our lives? No. Was it when we got a certain spiritual gift? Maybe like speaking in tongues, or the ability to teach. No. Was it when I was installed yesterday here at Grace Lutheran Church? No. Paul is very clear and very concise with his words today. He says those words, hear them again. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Simply put, God already had us in mind, and he had us in mind before the foundation of the world, before the dawn of creation, before it all came together, before it all, God chose his own. God did not choose us because he was prompted by some sort of good he saw in us. He was not prompted by feeling sympathy for us because of our parents, first parents, Adam and Eve, who disobeyed him and ate that forbidden fruit that Mark was talking about a couple weeks ago. He didn't do it because they said, oh, please, you're you. No! The blessing of God choosing us before everything, it means it was done out of his unconditional love, his grace for you and for me. God chose us. He wanted you to become his sons and his daughters. So how does this take place? This leads us to our next point for today. God has blessed us in Christ by his redeeming love. Paul continues to write in the following, in verses 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. At one time, all of humanity, including each one of us, deserve nothing. We deserve nothing but the fiery anger and the wrath of God. That's what we deserve. God did not say, oh, well, we deserve these things because we are like we confessed this morning. We are sinners. We are individuals who have been enslaved by the wretched desires of our hearts, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Yet in the midst of all this, God chose to redeem us. Does anybody know what the word redeem means? What does the word redeem mean?
My bad.
Okay? Trade? It's this idea, you guys got it right. It's the same idea. This idea of buying back, the idea of giving up something for a different thing. This idea of paying a price. So how does God redeem us? God did not buy us back with tangible things like gold or silver, or with a whimsical, arbitrary way, or an abstract process that began and ended in the white, sterling halls of heaven. Instead, it took place when the fullness of time had come, when God sent forth his Son to dwell among us. God sent his Son, Jesus, to the earth, to take upon our flesh, to take upon himself our chains of enslavement, and to forfeit his perfect innocent life for us sinners there upon a cross like this one. It is on that cross of Calvary centuries ago where the blood of God's Son was spilt. It was spilt for the sins of all humanity. Your sins were paid for. Your sins are now forgiven. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, this God-man, this Jesus earns freedom. Freedom for us and freedom for all mankind who are enslaved to our death, enslaved to damnation, enslaved to sin. You and I are now rescued from the punishment of his Father's wrath, which we all deserve, by coming for us our substitutionary payment. So how do we get these gifts of this cross that Jesus died upon? How do we get these gifts of Jesus redeeming blood? This leads us to our final point. Lastly, God has blessed us in Christ by sealing us with his Spirit. Lastly, the apostle writes, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Paul starts off his closing verses of today's reading by telling us Jesus' redemptive blood was obtained, the inheritance of paradise, first for those Jewish Christians who came to faith in him, who were the first hope in Christ. But is this how your epistle reading ends? Is this how your text ends that Chuck read this morning? No, it does not end that way. Chuck did not end with those words today. He ended with these words of Paul. These words. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. In other words, God goes beyond those first individuals who came to faith in Jesus. He goes beyond those first Jewish Christian converts out of his free grace. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God has chosen all of you to be his own. God has chosen you as an inheritor of his kingdom, an inheritor of the everlasting life of paradise. It is for all who believe in Jesus and his redemptive work. So how is God giving you these gifts? Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have heard the good news. We have heard the gospel. We have come to faith in Christ, and we have been baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And by these things of God, we have been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been placed into Christ. Therefore, these words this morning of today's epistle reading are not about things of old. These things are about you and me. That's why I love what Paul says. He uses that person. He uses that word, we. It is about us. If you feel comfortable, feel free to join me in reading these words once again together. These words that speak about you and me. If not, just follow along. These words are for you. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the blood. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Praise be to God's glory.
All these words
are about you. They are about you. God has blessed us, both physically and spiritually, all because of Christ.